It's an understatement to say that we are living in tumultuous times. Almost daily, we hear or read stories of war or threats of war. In many ways, today reminds me of the late 1960s and early 1970s when I was coming of age. Just like back then, there were significant and very important movements taking place. There was the anti-war movement. There was the civil rights movement. There was the hippie movement. And some of you may remember there was the modern feminist movement. Those of you like myself who lived through that time in our history may recall what it was like back then. I was in college during the early part of the 1970s and remember the tensions that created and fueled each of the movements I just mentioned. Today, like back then, there are significant and very important movements occurring. Today, the Black Lives Matter movement and the Me Too movement are calling out abusive individuals as well as entrenched and repressive systems of power. And today, there is growing sentiment that the use of war and weapons of war, either to make a point or to gain or retain power, is unconscionable and intolerable. There's some definite similarities between what was taking place during my late adolescence and early adulthood and what is occurring in this country today. The protests and movements of today are reminiscent of an earlier time. The corruption within and the disillusionment with our government seem all too familiar. And this country's ongoing involvement in war and the ever-present threats of war, well, it gives me flashbacks. There is something that was both present and also very impactful during the 60s and 70s that is missing today. Back then, the hippies and the anti-war protesters had a very potent yet delicate symbol of their hope for the future. That symbol was the flower. Those of you who lived during that period may recall how prevalent the word flower was in the language of that time. Phrases such as flower child or flower power were commonly heard or read. And just as we heard in our story that Marie shared with us earlier, back then, flowers had a way of popping up in places that seemed completely and totally inhospitable. Flowers, beautiful, delicate flowers, would often show up during confrontations between protesters and armed police or military units. Protesters would present flowers to armed police and military personnel in an attempt to de-escalate these often very hostile and potentially violent encounters. Flowers, beautiful, delicate, and yet simple, flowers had power back then. And they have power still today. The power that flowers have to move us is the foundation of our service today. The origin of this service goes back 95 years. It was 95 years ago, this past Monday, that the very first flower service celebration was held at the Unitarian Church in Prague, Czechoslovakia. The service, as Marie mentioned, was the brainchild of the Reverend Dr. Norbert Čapek, who was the minister of that congregation. For some time prior to that service, Chapek had felt the need for some symbolic ritual that would bind people more closely together. He believed the format had to be one that would not alienate any who had forsaken other religious traditions. The traditional Christian communion service with bread and wine was unacceptable to the members of his congregation because of their strong reaction against the Catholic faith. So he turned to the native beauty of their countryside for elements of a communion which would be genuine of them. On the last Sunday before the summer recess of the Unitarian Church in Prague then, all the children and adults participated in this colorful ritual, a ritual which Dr. Chapek created to give concrete expression to the humanity-affirming principles of our liberal faith. The simple service was the result. It was such a success that it became a yearly ritual which was held every year before the recess of the church at the last service in the spring to early summer. Chapek's message was uplifting and it was also powerful. In fact, it was so powerful that when the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found his gospel to be a threat. His message of the inherent worth and beauty of every person was, as Nazi court records show, too dangerous to the Reich for him to be allowed to live. Dr. Chapek was sent to Dachau, where his life ended the next year during a Nazi medical experiment. Yet while his life was snuffed out, his message and the service he created survived. His message and the flower celebration service live on with us here today. For today, we not only remember Dr. Chapek's message, we relive it, and we re-empower it. Even while it seems there are avalanches of destruction occurring all around us today, we continue to believe in and offer hope for a better day to come. So how might we, who are gathered here today, harness the power of flowers to make a positive difference in our community and in the world? Here's what I would propose. Imagine yourself at this moment to be a flower. We are, each and every one of us, beautiful, delicate, and at the same time, very powerful beings. We are the avalanche and the glacier lilies of our time. And we can turn a field of chaos and destruction into a field of splendor and vibrant life. We can do this if we have the courage and the tenacity to sprout up and blossom wherever and whenever the forces of oppression and destruction seek to overpower those they encounter. We have the opportunity to be the flower power of our day. May we, like those who came before us, recognize the power of flowers. And may we carry a message of hope and resilience out into the world, a world that needs to know that the destructive forces will not win out in the end. They will be replaced by flowers in the days ahead. That is what the cycle of life shows us. again and again and again. So it is, and blessed be.